There is something rotten in the Heritage Club.
Hey, welcome back to the Trading Places Minute. This is the show where, as you know, we discuss the movie Trading Places, and we do it 1 minute at a time, and we do it with me, Tom Taylor, and we do it with Mike DiMaria. Hi, Mike.
Happy holidays, post-holidays.
Happy post-holidays. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year, Dan Lewis.
Happy New Year. I just got back from Hawaii.
Yeah, you just froze.
You must be cold because you're in your apartment where it's probably a balmy 30, but you were just in Hawaii. So you must have been enjoying the heat.
I've decided that Hawaii is nice.
Yeah. I had the same conclusion when I went there a while ago, a couple years ago.
Is it contrary to popular opinion, Hawaii is nice?
Yeah. One of the best kept secrets in travel is that Hawaii
did you go
is
into,
nice.
you may not know this.
Take your Duluth.
Hawaii is very delightful.
Take your Buffalo, New York.
Right.
Hawaii
Niagara
is the
Falls.
Place.
Yeah. I'll take Buffalo, New York any day. Hey, did you go into like a 7-Eleven and get like, I guess they have like nice snacks there. They'll have like a rice cake with spam, with a glazed spam slice.
You know, I didn't see any spam, which is a little disappointing.
Spam's big over there.
It is big over there. And I like spam, actually.
Mm, it's good.
It is tasty. But I did eat a lot of like poke, you know. I think that's
bigger
now.
Yeah,
and so,
yeah.
Like, you know, just the poke that you get on the side of the road is better than what you'd find around here. It's fresh fresh ahi that they're catching right there.
It falls off the trees. Yeah.
Do they like at red lights? At red lights, like in California, where they sell you oranges? Do they come over with little poke cones or something?
it's not far from the truth.
Missed it.
Yeah.
Not far from
I went to a Costco nice when I was there, and it was all just like open air. It's like the whole like, you know, kind of hot dog pizza thing is just like outside because it can
yeah.
be.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
That was I in fact went to Costco as well. We did what everyone would do right off the plane in Hawaii is immediately go to Costco.
Yeah, just to see.
Let's see what's different.
their coconut crunch granola has peanuts in it. Weird. That's a different variety. That's exciting.
Yeah. All right.
So that's Hawaii. That's the Hawaii experience. Welcome
back.
Yeah,
there's nothing funny about it.
No, but we're not here to talk about Hawaii.
Well, we are. We're going to get into it a little later. Let's get to the bookends first.
We'll get to the bookends of minute 35 of Trading Places. This begins with members of the Heritage Club taking their seats in the big room where a lean and dour fellow says that there's a thief in the club, and he singles out Winthorpe as a hero, and then he introduces Mr. Beeks of Lyndhurst Security. That guy sounds like he has a cold.
That guy sounds like I was listening to him, and he sounds like Pee Wee Herman paging Mr. Herman. If this was Pee Wee Herman's character's grandfather, who was a little upper crusty.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Yeah,
this man is 100 times lower.
The 100 times lower. $200.
That's beautiful.
All right.
There's
a lot here, even though it's a lot of just milling about.
What have you observed, Michael?
Well, the screenshot when you open up the file, you know it always has a screenshot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it has Winthorpe has just walked by the camera, and he's looking like he's already knowing that something's up.
Oh.
So I was wondering, is this Dan Aykroyd preparing for the moment that he's outed as a thief?
No.
Because he's looking very forlorn.
How would he know, though?
No, I'm saying, what I'm saying, it's him as the actor.
Oh, Aykroyd,
walking
I see,
into
doing
the scene.
Scene.
Yeah. So he knows, like, at some, you know, he's working on it, because he probably doesn't think that the camera's on him, so he's looking like, he's looking kind of like forlorn.
He's
like,
preparing for the role, he's getting in an emotional headspace.
Yes.
This or could it just be...
crisscross is about to happen.
The crisscross.
Yeah, the big crisscross.
Maybe it's just Lewis like, hey, this isn't the normal sounding of the gong meeting. This is usually on Thursdays, but it's only Tuesday.
Todd's got his pipe.
Something's up. Mm-hmm. It's like when you get the phone call like at a time of night where you're like, "This, why would my sister be calling me right now?
Yes. Oh, this is it.
Something is up."
Yeah. Look, but he does like when...
That bowl just stopped rolling on the floor. Whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You better call Tom.
At this point, as of this recording, the bowl is still... spinning. Mm-hmm. The bowl is still, it's wobbling, but it's spinning. Yeah.
The tipped over milk from
score,
the dropped groceries. Yeah. It stopped gulping on the floor. Yeah.
Right. The last drop. For those of you who are playing along at home, that reference means that Tom's dad is still alive.
I sound like a monster. Please forgive me. I'm a good person.
No, we're all monsters. We're having fun. So Tom is still the only one with a dad still with us.
Yeah. I'm showing orphan. Off. Wah, I don't have a dad. Wah.
Mike's an orphan.
Yeah, I'm like me poor and Mike. Funkhauser.
But we've already established you can borrow Dan's mom and my dad if you need to.
Sure.
For now.
Yeah.
She ain't for the time being.
Right. Yeah, her rates are cheap. she does it for a family discount.
Yeah, she'll send you a card on your birthday. Mm-hmm. She'll give you a call at Christmas, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I will wait for the next minute, but I have a problem with the whole setup that's happening right here with the $50 bills.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get into it. Let's let Mr. Beaks come up and tell us.
But yeah,
right. Well, I think the next minute we'll get into it.
Let me just also say I do think it's very funny that I suppose for the purposes of the screenplay or something that, you know, amidst all of this, they're like, we have a big thief, someone way worse. Not like that person that Winthorpe might have fought off. Like, yeah. They're just talking about a random street thing where, you know, the word has gotten around that Winthorpe was attacked viciously
in contrast by a legless black man in the street. You know what
I mean? Like, the word has
blind,
gotten out.
Legless black man, yeah.
Yeah, you can, it's one of those cases where you can hear the screenwriters typewriter going as he's typing this.
Yeah, if we just pump it up just a little bit more.
I need
single
to remind
Lewis
people
is the hero
of what happened 5 minutes ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And how much this room loves Lewis right now.
Yes, he's got Bruce Valanche over his shoulder telling him, here's where you need to punch it up. Hello.
Yeah, this is you remind them of saving the cat so that you can... Mm-hmm.
Before you pull the rug out from under him. You make him a hero before you make him a fool.
Right. A fool.
Kill or be killed.
She gave me the key.
Tommy, what did you notice in this minute, sir?
There is one thing that I always notice, and this is going nowhere because I tried to look up this guy. There's one character actor who I recognize in the background. He's like the first person who they cut to as a reaction, like there's a thief and something's rotten in the Heritage Club or whatever. And he's like he's like a blonde guy, kind of a round face, and I don't know his name. They don't list. I couldn't. There's no picture of him in IMDb or anything, so I can't identify him.
He is a character actor?
It could be one of those things where I've seen him exactly one other place in a very minor role, but that makes me think that, you know, I recognize him from something, so sometimes you kind of, like, conflate that as to, like, a bigger thing, like, oh, that guy's in everything. That's that guy from The Thing. You always sort of see it, you know.
But it's also like Tom to remember the random character actor who showed up in I don't know, Mercy's Honor or whatever the hell it is.
Pritzy's Honor?
Pritzy's. It's the blind. Oh, yeah. The kind of balding blonde guy sitting. He's looking to his right. He's sort of looking the weird. He's reacting.
Oh, yeah. With a kind of
The guy he's sitting next to, by the way, I noticed, looks exactly like Stephen Jay Gould.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute.
Anyway.
Not Stephen Jay Cannell?
Look up Stephen Jay Gould, and he looks exactly like him.
That sounds like somebody who I should. I reacted as though I recognize who you're talking about.
I don't know. What is he? Evolutionary biologist or something?
I might know who you mean.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Like the boring world of Niels Bohr.
He was kind of famous. The boring world of Niels Bohr. Yeah, he's the youngest guy. The guy you're talking about is the youngest guy. It's all obviously it's all old white guys, which is a nice little setup there. And also all the photos on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing happened when I was looking. So one of the shots actually has the name of the guy on the wall. It's a two-shot of Randolph and Mortimer.
Oh, yeah.
And above them is you can't see the painting, but it says Thomas B. Coddington.
Right.
So I looked up Thomas B. Coddington, and he's a descendant of the first governor of Rhode Island. He's a materials merchant, very, very rich, obviously.
Sounds about right.
Offices in New York and London and Stade. Not Stade. I looked him up, and he was in there. And I was in a house history thing. It was something about the history of these like famous houses.
Oh, okay.
And it's like it's called househistory.com. There's one comment at the bottom, and it goes, Coddington's portrait can be seen in the early stages of the Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy movie Trading Places, hung on That's the wall of the boardroom.
So it just confirms to you that it's the right one.
I froze it for 1 second to look up this name. And when I'm doing that, it's like I'm turning over a rock that no one has ever turned over.
Yeah.
And then I look on the first, and I randomly chose one of the Google hits.
Yeah, and you realize that, and you realize that the rest of the world is continuously moving forward, and you know, right. getting you know, yeah. they're doing their work, they're making money, they're raising their kids, and you're looking up Coddington's portrait,
and not just me though. There's a teaming with nerds who are doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah, this morning I was watching The Minute, and I saw a guy that looked like Rich Little. I'm like, was Rich Little an extra in Trading Places? So I spent 15 minutes looking it up, and he's not. But I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Right. But if you notice when Todd and Rich Little, like, I gotta feel stupid that I even.
Why would he?
I'm looking.
He
up
did
Rich
a killer
Little.
Don Ameche. They actually replaced Don Ameche with Rich Little for part of the scenes.
It was him and the other one with Dorf on golf were the two most unfun people on the face of the earth.
Yeah, except for.
But if you look,
the thing is, if it turns out to be Rich Little, you're gonna be a genius for figuring that. Like it's the cost benefit analysis. You're going to be amazing if you yourself figured out that Rich Little appeared in Trading Places in an uncredited role.
Yeah.
I think Rich Little was playing Don Ameche's character, actually.
Or he's playing Johnny Carson as Don Ameche. Mm-hmm. That's Oliver. Yeah. Oliver Rich Little is like, here's Johnny Carson if he was James Mason.
But if we were to be able to unearth that, then when you go to these movie-by-minute conventions and you say, listen, that we don't, I mean, we have fun, but we're also finding out stuff that none of you will ever see.
We're peeling
back. If you notice the scene,
balls, huh?
No, if you notice,
we're dead serious.
I'm trying to fucking talk. I've been trying to fucking talk for the last goddamn 2 minutes, and I'm trying to be diplomatic about it, but this whole fucking format of talking over each other is not fucking working.
All right. Well, you just ruined all your time complaining. Anyway.
No.
So later in
the red light just went off.
And the scene where Todd and Winthorpe are sitting down, the guy who makes the escargot joke is sitting in behind them.
Oh, get out of here. Wait a minute. Really?
Yeah. Hey, now there's a good
hang
five.
On. Now, that's a good catch.
That's
see?
Why you
I'm
fucking
glad
let
we let him talk.
Talk.
That's why we let him talk.
Fucking let me talk.
At what point?
As Todd and him sit down, Winthorpe looks over his shoulder to look at some other guy behind him. And then right behind them against the wall, because there's another layer of seats against the wall, is the guy that makes the escargot joke.
As Todd and Emerson.
Oh, is that him?
Wait a minute.
Looks like
I see now this is one of those things where maybe Mike is wrong, though. Hold on. I see
it's
them
a
sitting
good,
down.
I want to give him points even if it's not actually him. Because I'm looking at it and he looks more like the guy in the bank whose voice you recognize from all sorts of commercial voiceovers.
He's, he's the guy that we should be looking up because that guy's in a lot of movies right there.
Yeah.
Doesn't the escargot guy
well, you know who
like
he is?
Devil mustache?
You know who he is?
Yeah, who?
He's the banker in Goodfellas.
Jesus
when,
Christ.
When he's sitting in that's where maybe he's not the escargot guy, but he's the guy who Joe Pesci says, I think I want my money back. And he's like, well, it's not how investments work. He's like, I'll tell you what, I'm going to come
down and
bust
your... Or you're saying Casino.
Casino, yeah, in Casino. He's the banker in Casino.
Is he?
He's like, why not if I come down to the bank tomorrow and split your head open?
I don't remember that guy that well, but I want you to be right.
I'm going
to
look him up.
Mike
People
went
of
deep
Earth,
on that one.
Look him up.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah,
look
you guys go ahead and talk about your bullshit. I'm going to look this up.
Now I'm not so sure about letting you talk. I'm not actually sure anymore.
You might be derailing the whole thing.
I think maybe you shouldn't be talking so much.
All the strides we made with Thomas Coddington.
Thomas B. Coddington.
I'm going to start here with S.
While Mike is looking that up.
Joke.
Yeah, loudly.
Let's talk. While Mike is talking his way through a Google search.
I would like to point out that the Dukes have terrible poker faces. They're the only one. Everyone's aghast at the news that there's something's rotten in the Heritage Club. And everyone's like, and like they cut to the Dukes and they're just like,
It's not
like
the
very
escargot
smug.
Guy.
It's Sorry. Not the escargot
no.
guy.
The escargot has a magnificently trimmed beard.
He does.
Yeah, that's not him.
He's distinct.
So, but I do remember him, but I latched onto him because it's Casino. Banker scene. Go ahead, you guys do it.
They don't need to have a good poker face. That's the thing.
I guess
they're in
not.
A position where they don't even need. They are than the coveted spot beneath the Thomas B. Coddington portrait.
That is true.
That is him.
They got the Coddington seats. Is it really?
Charlie the Banker. Look up Charlie the Banker. Charlie the Banker.
I'm going to look it up. You. I don't either.
That's him. Let's just humor That's the guy Charlie sitting behind them.
The Banker.
So I'm going to find out his name. Because I'm
Dan,
fucking
Dan,
stupid.
There's no way it's this guy. I recognize the guy. I recognize Charlie the Banker. He's a well-known guy. He's a character actor who you see a lot. Okay, he's not the guy in the background of Trading
Places. He is the guy in the background. You don't fucking
like
to
feel like he's a part of the show and that he has something to
contribute. I can hear you. That's him.
Humor him, but it's
you got to get a close up of Charlie.
There's
got
to be limits to these things.
Is Charlie the wait, hold on here.
Oh man. You know what this means, right?
Is
Mike,
Charlie the Banker in Trading?
Doesn't have any.
Speaking of bankers, the sum total of this
will
nothing.
This will unlock exactly nothing.
Yeah. Be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
A crummy character actor?
Crummy commercial.
Charlie.
I saw this guy in a crummy commercial. Tom, in the meantime, we should talk about how we lost.
We did.
How we lost Lacey Underall.
You know, it's really ironic. The day that we're recording this, I mentioned Lacey Underall in the episode that just released to our patrons on this day as we record. And we mentioned Lacey, and it was, of course, months ago, and she had not yet passed away. But she has
Cindy
passed away.
Morgan.
Cindy Morgan, the one and only, our dear sweetheart.
As I said before, my condolences go to the Underall family in Manhattan.
Yes. Things just got a little more dreary in Manhattan.
Richard Reel.
Richard Reel, not the right guy.
Think about just the ravages of time. You watch that scene with her. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's Richard Reel. Those Richard breasts. Reel kind of looks like he looks a little
show.
Bit. He looks like a little bit of Bill Murray's brother.
He does. He does look like a Murray.
Older.
Yeah.
Richard Reel trading.
It's not going to be. How in the world? They're not going to credit all these guys. They're extras, for God's sakes. Oh,
well, Richard Reel was in a movie.
Twice as old as he should be.
And why would they pay a legitimate actor?
Uh-huh. Richard Reel.
They pulled half these people off the streets, gave them haircuts and shaves.
Richard
Reel
must
have cost only two bits.
Richard Reel was in a movie called Trading Favors.
Oh, jeez.
That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
That's the porn version of Trading Places.
No, he plays the highway
trading
patrolman.
Favors, they take a poor black man from the street.
Yeah.
And a
this
rich
movie
guy.
Stars
and two old perms are like, I got an idea.
Let's put these two in
and
a
the
room.
The butler's
see what
in on it.
No, this movie stars Rosanna Arquette and Chad Lowe.
Let's get them in the jacuzzi.
It's so good.
But he's in Trading Favors, and after Alex, a seductive woman with
a
violent boyfriend, steals a car and entices a teenage boy Lincoln to join her robberies. So I'm assuming that Richard Reel must have pulled them over. Okay, you guys continue, but I'm getting closer.
We'd love to.
Trading
That'd be awesome,
favors.
Buddy. Good job.
He went to
else?
Notre Dame.
Son of a bitch.
Well, I got close. He was in Trading Favors.
Yeah, that's a understandable mistake. Anybody can get tripped up over that.
Trading Favors.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh boy. We got to get Mike off the internet. What do we do? How do we distract him from what he's doing?
It's just the onion goes more and more layers.
He's like a steamed avocado over here. Until he gets to the heart.
Mike, this is how QAnon gets started. Because people
you
start
guys
digging
continue
for
on.
Character actors.
How are we supposed to continue on? Or you keep just reading stuff off the internet?
Why do you think?
Trading Places was the Cindy Morgan. Okay, great. She was in Tron.
Cindy Morgan.
Tell
we
us
love
what
her.
Else she was in, Tom.
She was in Tron, of course. She was also on an episode of Chips that was meant to be a backdoor pilot for I forget what it was called now, but it was somebody made the great joke. It was her and a another woman. They were women cops, and it was like a backdoor pilot. They were gonna have their own show. And our buddy Dave Innes on our listeners' hole made the joke, Cagney and Lacey Underalls.
Oh, Cagney and Lacey Underalls. That's good.
And
it is a kind of a coincidence because my nickname in high school was Backdoor Pilot.
Here comes the choo-choo plane. Backdoor Woo-hoo! Pilots coming in the back door.
Requesting a flyby.
When a script calls for a chubby, mustachioed, average Joe white dude,
Stephen Jay
Richard
Gould.
Richard Real is your Hollywood go-to.
He's
guy.
In Office Space. He's in Office Space. He was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He's
like
all over
you.
The place.
And Tom is saying that's a different guy, though. That's what you're,
yeah.
That's
there,
what
there's
is
a
saying.
Cohesion to the idea of Richard Real, assuming that's the current guy that Mike is talking about.
It looks like him.
It looks a little bit like the guy in the background of that one shot of Trading Places. Like
Will him. The real Richard Real please stand up?
Or not.
He's dead. A lot of these guys are dead now. And that's interesting. You ever watch a scene like this? 1982, 1983, there's an entire room of old people.
Yeah.
Hundreds of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all dead. If not, maybe a few of them aren't, but pretty much everyone there is dead. Dan Aykroyd is an old guy now.
Yeah. My buddy.
Oh, she's dead.
My friend. Clockwork Orange. Right. My friend John Ingle made the point recently that Hitchcock's leading women are mostly still alive.
They all live to be forever.
Your Kim
Tippi
Novak's,
Hedren.
Your Tippi Hedren, I think she's still around.
Tippi Hedren is still around. Kim Novak, yep.
Yeah.
You know what? Didn't Eva Marie Saint maybe only recently die? Or is
I'm
she
not
still
sure
alive?
She did. I think she was on the list, but she might. I didn't bother to look any. I know we know Janet Leigh is no longer around.
Right.
And Grace Kelly, of course, died too young.
Yes.
But then you think about that, but then you're like, okay, but all of his leading men, your Cary Grants and your Jimmy Stewarts, died like decades ago.
That is
so what does that tell you about the casting practices of like the 50s
and 60s? He was a deadly casting for males. And Eva Marie Saint is 99 years old.
Holy smokes.
Tippi Hedren is 93 years old.
You realize you're going to die by the time this airs, and we're going to feel horrible.
Well, Kim Novak is 90 years old.
Son of a bitch.
So it is very interesting how they all
good for them.
To be. But you know, maybe there's some sort of.
I mean, they were much younger than their leading men.
They're blonde.
Part of my point.
They're younger.
And
than
they were blonde.
Men. They're blonde. Yeah. They're thin.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a thing or something. I don't know. I mean, women live longer than men. It's just a true statement.
I think you just have to be a sexy movie star and you'll live forever.
That's not true at all. For reasons that I won't get into right now, I happen to know that the oldest living man is something like the 15th or 20th oldest living person in the world.
Wow. Now, I'm less interested in that than I am in why you won't get into the reasons you know this or why this is true.
You know, I like to look these things up on the internet. Sure. But I do always think that about
everybody's
movies.
Got their thing, Dan. It's okay. There's
yeah,
no
I just
shame
don't
here.
Talk about it while I'm searching it.
I'm done. Yeah.
I always think about it, though. I'm fixated on death in that way because whenever I watch a movie, I go, that person's dead now. Mm-hmm. Or any time I see a pet in a movie. Almost any time. Even a movie that's not even that old. 20-year-old movie. You know, 15-year-old movie. There's a cat. I go, a cat's dead now.
Yeah. I know a guy who fixates on food in movies. You see somebody eating, you're like, oh, somebody made that food and prepared it. And that this is not only a movie about whatever's happening in the scene, but it's a movie about a person in the 60s or something eating a bowl of chili.
He sees the backstory of like, someone they had to soak the beans and then do the thing and then do the.
Yeah.
But do they say that that's what that meal would look like in the 60s?
I mean, if it was a movie from the 60s, wherever it's from, you know, just like, oh, this is a meal that was prepared. Yes, it was only just for the scene in a movie, but it was actual food and it was made and the person enjoyed it and ingested it. And
there was a whole article recently in the Times about the way that the presenting food has changed through time. Because now in the restaurants, they'll do like, it's very, the plating has gotten out of control. Mm-hmm. You'll get a food on a pillow. You'll get food on a little pillow, or you'll get it on a big. But yeah, it gets out of control.
A wooden plank.
And then they talked about how in the 90s it became popular. There was this whole Japanese influence that took over, and there's this very minimalistic thing that happened, as seen in the opening of American Psycho.
Right.
Little droplets. But then before that, there had been this whole other thing, so it had changed over time. While I agree with you, Mike, that the yes, it gets a little idiotic. There was one where it was like the food is on a clothesline. Anyway, I mean, stuff like that. I mean, yes, I agree. It gets a little out of control. But it's also meant to be fun and, you know.
Or interesting or pretty.
It's expensive restaurants. You don't normally have to encounter it in your life.
Well, maybe that's where I'm different,
choose
though.
To.
You know? I like the food. I want to eat the food. I don't give a shit if it's on a fucking clothesline. That to me is I'm not going out to eat to have fun. I'm going out to taste the food and say that's a fucking great meal.
Right.
But also not ordering a sculpture.
But the point is, number one, you don't have to be interested in it. It's not something you're going to encounter unless you choose to go to that kind of restaurant, which you don't have to worry about.
No, it shows up in rest. Last year I was in Naples, Florida. My sister was down there. I went down there with the kids. Mm-hmm. But this is a normal Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then they had like this dessert. It was like Gina's something or whatever. And it came out in like one of those, it was a head, you know, that they have in...
like in Indiana Jones. Know. They ate the, and you no, ate no, the no, head.
No, it was like head. A fucking, let me fucking talk. It was a head that they use in like cosmetology schools where they're cutting hair. But instead of the hair, it was a big thing of cotton candy. It looked like a 1980s nightmare, like something out of fucking Ruthless People or something.
That's insane. You know, and this was not meant to be a joke candy, or funny.
And it had like a sparkler lit up. And so it's a fucking it's a bunch of cotton candy.
But that sounds not funny bucks. Though. That sounds like they're being lighthearted.
But every 5 minutes, it's coming by. People are fucking falling for it. I'm like, why don't you bring me the fucking tiramisu? Right. Fuck that shit.
Just bring me a pile of cotton candy, please.
I'm afraid to order anything now because it's going to come in like a baby alive or something.
I should not have ordered the cotton candy. I should have gone with something more substantial.
Yeah. Does the tiramisu come in like a battleship game set?
No, everything else was normal.
A little more appetizing?
Yeah. No, asshole.
B7.
I got done saying everything was normal.
Okay.
So then I'm reading. I go, let's see what that is. And it was like, they try to write it like it's fucking highfalutin dessert. Mm-hmm. Well, it's served at its time. It's a little
side
on
a head.
It's hand spun sugar cotton candy with a demi glaze of this, that. And they're like, fuck off. It's cotton candy on a goddamn fucking.
Isn't all cotton candy hand spun? The guy reaches in there with the cone.
Yeah.
And pulls it out. What is he?
Yeah, it's all hand spun.
Weaving gold.
Yeah. It's not hand spun by fucking robots.
You should have gotten the meatloaf. They can't just put meatloaf on a head.
Yeah.
Right?
Meatloaf delivers it.
Yeah. The meatloaf afro.
I would order anything on the menu, but I won't order that.
Well, speaking of robots.
Thank you, Tom.
Were we?
Oh. So for you know, on you're on Instagram and you get these like around Christmas time, these gifts like what? Well, I brought up robots. Hand spun by robots.
That's fine.
You just say we are now speaking of robots.
No, I do so that stand-up sometimes. No, I'll just be like, speaking of this thing, people go, what?
Yeah, let me just get right through this right now. Let me just get right through it and then go to trivia.
Just get right
point.
Through it.
Hey.
Oh, you said trivia. That means that shut it off.
A little premature.
Shut it off.
There we go.
So
go ahead. Sorry.
Around Christmas time, you get these ads for like, oh, you know, turn your pet's picture into a pillow, into this, into that, and the other thing. So last year I got the kids a pillow, which came out really nice, of their dogs, right? Mm-hmm. So I see this next one that's like it's a hoodie with a caricature of their photos, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, that's a nice, like, you know, an extra gift.
Yeah.
So I order it, you know, and of course they say, oh, you know, due to demand, it's going to be a little late, so it doesn't come until Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So I write them. I said, you know, where is this thing? And they're like, first email comes back. Exactly. And they come back and they said, dear customer, I assure you we're an honest company.
Okay, chief, let's talk. You know? Why not?
Yeah, exactly. It was all broken up. We are truly an honest company. And we will, you know, we are working hard. And as you can see from our video, you'll see of our factory that we are hard at work. And they send me a video of just these machines.
Wow.
Like making these sweatshirts, and the walls are like that puke green paint, and there's chips. The walls are all chipped,
right?
And it's all these machines just going bah, 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 and they go, bad. As you can see, we are an honest company. And I go, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally come. I get the two sweatshirts. One is of, okay, I see that's the two dogs, right, that I sent the photo on. And one is just, this is the other one,
uh-oh,
is just these two. I go, I don't recognize these two dogs.
We're looking at
two random dogs.
Line drawings.
These are two random dogs. Yeah. And I for
two
you as a home holding up.
Random dogs,
yeah,
that aren't
the other one
Mike's
where, okay, that's
dogs.
Right. The other two are the ones. Yeah. And then, and so I wrote them back and I'm like, this
please
is,
ask
these
your
are
robots
random
to step it up.
I go, these are somebody else's dogs, or this is like stock image dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, we'll gladly send you another one. Just send us $25 for shipping. I'm like, I'm not doing anything of the sorts. Now I know I'm dealing with the Chinese government. So there's a
right. They said, kindly pick your favorite daughter and give her the sweater.
Yeah. Yeah. They said, don't you know?
What kind of a person has two daughters, first of all?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We have a, yeah.
Wah, I've got two daughters. I have to buy gifts for. Wah.
Yeah. We have the, yeah, we're mandated to have one.
Yeah. And daughter, definitely one.
Yeah. And then this was like 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago. And then they were like, oh, fine. I wrote back, I'm not paying for shit. They're like, okay, because we are a kind and honest company, we will send you. Yeah, we said we will rush it out. I haven't received shit. They haven't responded to me.
God damn. Oh, so, that sucks.
It's yeah, you're just learning about how things are made in China.
Yeah. Thanks
and
for
the robots. Way that it, where the impersonal nature of it.
Yeah.
Eh.
Don't get me started on Gold Belly.
I won't. I'll do trivia instead. Oh, look at that.
You got the cards ready?
Trivia time, I do. I found the cards. I was panicking for a minute that I couldn't find
Hollywood them. Flicks.
Hollywood Flicks edition of Trivial Pursuit from 1989. Top five answers on the board. What character does most of the talking in My Dinner with Andre?
Andre.
It is Andre, right?
Yeah, it is Andre.
Yeah, it's Andre.
Right?
Yes.
Andre, do you have his last name or something? Am I supposed to know his last name?
Andre Gregory is the actor.
Andre and Gregory.
They sort of seem to be playing
themselves.
They
play themselves, yeah. Right, with the Wallace Shawn, the great Wallace Shawn.
That's a good movie.
It is a good movie. Right,
what movie does he have a line? She's a wonderful dancer.
I don't know.
Is that Manhattan?
No.
No. Okay.
It's a terrible movie. Stars Donald Sutherland.
Oh,
she's a wonderful dancer. As he's eating snacks, she's a wonderful dancer.
I don't know this one.
The movie Crackers.
Oh
boy!
Now you know.
There, Crackers.
I bet there's going to be a Crackers
Allied Biscuit
question pretty soon. No. What 1983 bomb did director Sylvester Stallone help to build up John Travolta's body for?
Oh, I know. I could see the sequel, I could see the cover. Yeah, I could
Staying
see
Alive, right? The sequel to
Staying Alive.
I mean, the sequel to whatever Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is Staying Alive. Yes.
I remember the cover of one of the fitness magazines that had John Travolta with a headband on without his shirt on. And he was all oiled up.
Oh, no, I didn't see Staying Alive.
And Stallone was right next to him, you know, and he had like the director's eyepiece.
Yeah.
He had it around
that was a real auteur film, Staying Alive. And why did his body need to be built up? It's the same character.
But isn't he like doing like a Broadway thing or something? He's a new kind of
Jamie Lee Curtis is in that movie.
Oh, really?
Is she?
I think there is a movie, dancing movie or an aerobics movie.
Exactly.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Is that called Perfect?
Yeah, that's the one.
I think that's Perfect. I don't know what that means.
Built up for this one. I can't do it. I can't get built up like it.
Jump over. What two brands of cigarettes are in the truck Axel Foley's hanging on to at the start of Beverly Hills Cop?
Let's go with Marlboro's and Winston Salem's. Thank you.
No,
those are not the answers.
No, don't. What's the one?
Viceroy.
That's the menthol. No, what's the menthol one? That's big in Detroit. Oh, cool. That was big in Detroit. The menthol one. No, there was a menthol. Yeah. There's one that was big in the in the city.
We know what you're saying, Mike.
Read you loud and clear.
Menthol's big as an urban cigarette.
They're very mentholated people, aren't they?
Beverly Hills.
Here we go. Down the rabbit hole. Yep. He's looking it up.
Wait, this is absolutely...
You don't want him to,
don't
give the answer?
Don't look up Beverly Hills Cop. Don't
look it up.
Frank Pesci. You're allowed to look up... Frank Pesci, a cigarette buyer.
Wait, stop
it. Is that Joe Pesci's brother?
I don't know. Let's not find out. Please let's not find out.
He's to Joe what Frank Stallone is to Sly.
Yeah.
Frank Pesci. The lesser Pesci.
I think I remember.
Frank Pesci should have been in Gone Fishing with the.
I think I remember the cigarettes now.
Okay, now that you looked it up, you think
I think I remember. That's coming back to me now that I'm Googling it.
Lucky Strikes and King Size Kents.
You're wrong. You're wrong. Lucky Strike Lucky Strike and Pall Mall.
Pall Malls. Yeah, I remember Pall Malls. Yeah. Those are all gone now, aren't they? There's no Lucky Strike cigarette anymore, is there? I don't even know what cigarettes there are. Who smokes?
The one with the red
insane.
Dot? It's like white with a red dot. Is that Lucky Strike? What 1985 Jeff Goldblum flick boasts cameo roles from 17 movie directors? I know the answer to this.
Frank Pesci figure it out. Died at 75.
Stop it. Come on, I can't take any more. This is awful. What am I supposed to do now that Frank Pesci's dead?
He also played his brother, and Anthony LaPaglia played him in the Danny Aiello starring 29th Street.
Okay.
Frank Pesci, right. Character actor.
Okay.
Pesci died. Doesn't say anything about him being the brother.
I probably would have said that by now. Yeah. Okay, what's the question? Which is the 85 Jeff Goldblum as a bunch of cameo roles from 17 movie directors? Anyway, it's not Earth Girls Are Easy.
It is not.
Okay, but what shit?
It is I'll tell you this, it is a John Landis movie. In fact, I think it is his first movie after killing Vic Morrow with a helicopter.
Oh, Twilight Zone. Shit, I don't know.
Vito Pesci.
I'm thinking of The Player, but that's later. But Jeff Goldblum's not even in The Player.
He actually is. He shows up in The Player. He's playing the piano at a party.
Oh, he just randomly shows up. Yeah, well, everybody shows up in that movie at some point. But
yeah.
All right. Well, who is it? What is it?
The movie is Into the Night.
Jesus.
There you go. It's Into the Night. Now you know.
That movie went Into the Night. Movie. Quietly.
It's a little, What kind of creature is the first to be killed in Rambo First Blood Part 2?
Another trick question. A human.
Man.
The most dangerous
A human
game.
Being.
No, what kind of a creature? I don't know. A squirrel.
That was a Russian. He went to kill the Russians at that point.
Okay, so that creature was a Russian.
Russians count as humans. Yeah. It's not a Russian. It is a snake.
Oh.
Apparently a snake gets killed in Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Very biblical.
And finally, what sequel features the SAL 9000 computer? We should all know this.
What
and
feature?
I do.
What? SAL?
What sequel?
Oh, 2010.
That's right. 2010, the year we made contact.
It's full of stars.
Should that be trivia or do we do another one? Or is that it?
Oh, I guess let's just do, hold on a second now. We're on 37 minutes or so.
Yeah. Ish.
No, we're at 37, yeah.
Let's just get one right there. Let's do a speed round one.
Okay.
Where Mike doesn't get to look anything up and he has to answer.
Right. And if he does look up something, it's not about something we're not talking about.
You have 5 seconds to answer.
Okay, here we go. What's the last weapon viewers see Charlie Partana use in the aforementioned Pritzi's Honor?
Tommy gun.
A knife. What thriller, based on a Stephen King story, features a man who can see someone's future at the touch of a hand? That is The Dead Zone. If I know it, I'm just going to say it.
I see the future.
What's the occupation of Zach's father in An Officer and a Gentleman?
I got nowhere else to go. He's a gentleman. I mean, an officer. I mean, a gentleman. He's a sailor.
What 1985 movie did Woody Allen write specifically for Mia Farrow?
Hannah and Her Sisters.
No.
Dang.
The other one. The Purple Rose of Cairo.
Oh,
here's one. Who is down and out Lewis Winthorpe III dressed as when he pockets food
from the table
in Trading Places?
The answer is
Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Who announced that he would share his Best Actor Oscar with Raul Julia? I could have guessed that. I just looked though.
Raul Julia share.
It's a speed round, so I should be shouting out the
Raul
answer by now.
Raul Julia
who said he would share?
Share Oscar.
They were in the movie Don together.
Amici.
No,
it was Don Amici.
Second.
No, it was not Don Amici. He's looking at
the tip of my tongue.
What's his name? Harry and Tonto.
No.
No, give me a second. I almost got it.
Should I tell you the name of the movie?
No, Yard Carney incident.
Situation.
Okay, just say this is a speed round, so just say it.
William Hurt.
Chico Mendes story.
William
the answer
Hurt.
Is William Hurt, Kiss of the Spider-Woman, et cetera, et cetera. And that was trivia.
He was up for the Chico Mendes story. The burning season, the Chico Mendes story.
What the hell is
Raul
happening?
Julia.
Oh, okay.
Raul Julia.
What if Mike was having a stroke and we didn't realize it and we felt awful later? He just kept mumbling stuff from the internet.
So why don't you go ahead and close? I think we're done for the day.
I think we are done. Oh. I think all we have left to do is thank our beautiful patrons.
So Raul Julia.
Patrons like Raul Julia, Captain America,
Mark Campbell,
Street Fighter,
Damon Garza,
Robert Gresham,
Nathan Shuckman,
Mark Campbell, Mark Mattis. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I can see that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you all, you beautiful Cable patrons Ace who are thanking us at the level at which we are thanking your names on the air.
Oh, the
your
burning
beautiful
season.
People. Thank you to our other patrons the there, too.
Season,
thank you to all of you for listening.
Captain America.
Chico Mendes story.
Captain America Steve Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dan and Mike.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week.
I don't know why
with
he didn't
minute
it
36.
And he had to share it.
Of Trading Places here on the Trading Places Minute.
The Burning Season, Chico Mendes story, and the Addams Family. Those are his two biggest roles that he had.
It was a stone groove, my man. You are the most righteous.
Yeah, right. Just get the fuck out, man. Let's go. Shit.